Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm Colin Stewart, your co-host. I'm also joined by cardboard cutout Aaron today. He's in a slightly different angle and he's lost his Christmas monkeys. I think they've migrated south for the cold weather that we're having. But today I'm joined by somebody who knows a whole lot more about LinkedIn prospecting than many of our guests, and probably because of the company that he used to work at. Today I'm joined by Cole Fox. He's the portfolio growth operations at Bregal Sagemont. They're a $3 billion private equity firm that really specializes in buying SaaS and technology companies and basically tripling their sales. But previously you were over at LeadIQ, which is where you learned all these great tricks. So Cole, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Colin. Good to be here.
Yeah, man. So today we're talking about prospecting on LinkedIn. Before we jump in, why should somebody care about using LinkedIn as a prospecting tool? I know this is the obvious question, and I believe, you know, obviously in prospecting using LinkedIn, but maybe for some that aren't currently doing this, maybe they're saying their market, you know, people aren't there, or you know, whatever it might be. Why should somebody care? Why should we care about LinkedIn?
Well, number one, it's a place where people are constantly updating their information. And that means their current company is up to date. And you can extrapolate a lot of good information to target them and start a conversation, because we all know it's pretty awkward if you're like, hey, David, I saw that you worked for Oracle, but David really moved to Salesforce, right? Mm-hmm. So let alone a bounced email, you're going to at least have updated information since people self-report there. The other nice thing about LinkedIn is you can see how you're connected to people, which is huge in sales, right? So you can get a referral, you can get an intro, you see if you know somebody in common. So that definitely speeds things up. And I'd say those are the top two reasons.
Great. So if I was an SDR and you were teaching me how to use LinkedIn and why to use it, where do we start?
I would start with building the personal brand and profile up. That's going to allow you to, you know, everybody's going to inevitably go look at your LinkedIn or some sort of social media that comes up about you, whether they Google you or literally you send them a message from LinkedIn or an email. And so you want to have something that when they come and look at you, they're, you know, you have some credibility. So I think that's really the number one that I would start with.
Because it's basically your personal landing page, right?
And yeah,
LinkedIn tends to rank pretty high if you have a unique enough name. You know, hopefully it's, you know, your actual profile page is in the, you know, the first page. But if you're Greg Smith or Matt Smith, you're probably absolutely toast.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So it's a great spot to go and have that first landing page if prospects are looking you up. Talk to me about what does a good landing page look like to you?
Well, a good landing page has a good headshot, right? So you don't want to use that fraternity or sorority photo that you've cut yourself out and pasted it in and it's all pixelated and the lighting's bad. You want to spend maybe $50 and go get a professional headshot. That $50 is going to pay off quite a bit because we make a lot of subconscious judgments about people first about their photo on a profile. So I would invest in that. And then the other part that is really a tenet of a good profile is you just want to make sure your words are tight, right? You want to show you're a good communicator, you're articulate, you're educated, at least in your space that you're in. So I'd say those are probably the top two that I would start with.
Okay. And so it's a good headshot and then basically clean communication. You know, how salesy do you go if you're a SDR or an account exec? You know, are you full on, you know, I work for this company and we're amazing because, or talk to me a little bit about, you know, the headline and description.
Yeah, I think the headline should be catchy. If you can combine catchiness with literal like call to action, then even better. SDRs I've managed, they've tried all those things and we've seen success across the board. I mean, I've seen demos get set up from the SDR emailing the person looking at SDR's profile, immediately seeing what they do and then saying, oh yeah, I'm looking at something like this, right? Like it might just be a logistical thing of like, yeah, I just need to know what you do and what you want and see if it's relevant to me. and I'm going to set up a demo. So I think if you can make a combination of like, hey, I've got some personality too, right? Like I can build a relationship and I know the prospect immediately knows what you do and the value you give enough for a demo. I think that's great. It's a landing page, right? Mm-hmm.
So can you give me some examples of some good headlines that you've heard?
Yeah, well, personally, not to toot my own horn too much, but the headline I used when I was at Lead IQ and I was in a selling role, I said, I put innovating the art of the hustle. And so the reason that worked was because my target market were salespeople who we all aspire to hustling, right? Mm-hmm. And we sold into a lot of tech startups, tech companies. So innovation, right? So those are keywords that resonated with people that were in our target market. So I would say that was a good one. I got a lot of profile views and demos from that. People would comment on it. I'd say another, maybe I can show an example here. I can share my screen.
That'd be great.
I think we can get into personal brand a little later, but there's this girl that's kind of been lighting up the thought leadership circuit with sales, and I think she does a cool job because you know she's in a really tough space, right? Cloud security, it's typically kind of boring, and I hate to say that, but it is what it is. And I mean, she's got some emojis, she's taking in some talent here, incorporating that. She's showing like, you know, she's involved with the inside sales professionals. So, I mean, there's a lot here. It might be a little too much, but it's showing like, oh yeah, I've heard about that person, right? She's building not only on top of like the company she represents, but like herself, right? Like this is her shtick. So if she left this company, she could still bring this to another company if it was in that same space, or I don't know, maybe she could move to another space and still just add Singer in there, right? Yeah. So I think this is a great personal brand and headline that's very catchy. You're going to read it. You're going to want to look at her profile and you're going to start to see what she does. And I'm sure she gets a good amount of demos out of this. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I was already looking at like, okay, I see the guitar in the background and she's the cloud security singer. What's the story there?
Right. You want to know more. Mm-hmm.
And she's got this YouTube link that's if anybody hasn't seen it, we'll throw it in the show notes. But it's basically her singing about cloud security.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to speak to her talent as a singer or a songwriter, but it's like, I'm going to watch it. Right. That's the point.
And especially if you're selling into a boring industry, you know, it just takes a little bit of creativity and some talent to, you know, to really stand out. And she obviously has both of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great job. And you don't have to be a singer or a songwriter to get something like this. I mean, if you're into sports, like why not? Like, or if you're into fishing, I don't know, do something that connects you with who you are as a human, because at the end of the day, we're humans selling to humans. So try and put a little bit of that in there and make it obvious what you do. Like she also does that, like cloud security. All right, now I know what she does. I know what she's selling. So that's a potent combination.
Gotcha. And so she's hit those like those keywords that you really want to mix in with that strong headline. So it's catchy, yet it's still, if somebody's searching for cloud security, they're still gonna, if they land on her page, they're still gonna know, you know, what she's all about.
Yeah, it's headline. And then in the description area, it's call to action, right? So it looks like she wants to call you to the YouTube to show, yes, she actually does sing. She's got some media attached here. So this takes a little time to look into actually filling out these modules on your LinkedIn profile. But if you have this stuff, you know, great. If you don't have it, then at least put words in there that are clear, you know, call to action driven, whether that's keep scrolling down or here's what we do. Those are all things that are important. Don't leave a blank.
So you're not recommending everybody grab a guitar and start singing about their industry. just so we're clear.
Exactly. But I know you play guitar. You have a big music background, so maybe you should start doing this. could be the predictable revenue singer or the email blast singer.
There we go. I'll sing out people's prospecting emails. That'd be
you would,
It'd be a good segment on the show. And we'd get people to stop listening right away. Like, real podcast is done. Now I'm going to sing somebody's, somebody's prospecting email. I'll tell you what, if somebody actually does email me, you can find my email. It's pretty easy. I'll sing it on the next one of these. And there it won't be good. I promise you it won't be good, but yeah, I'll stand up here with my guitar. That's fine. Write a little ditty.
Exactly.
So now that we've got our personal brand sort of nailed, you know, we've got our profiles up, we've got the description so that we can be found in the results. And when people do actually land on it, they're clear as to, you know, why we're there. What's next? Because I imagine you're not going to just sit here and say it's an inbound game and drive traffic to your profile. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and hustle. So let's talk about that hustle. Where does that start for you?
Yeah. So the hustle really starts with searching on LinkedIn. And, you know, you don't want to just do a search for like a title. You want to organize and make a strategy around your searching. So for example, let's just use cloud security, right? So you want to segment that search because there's probably millions of people that have cloud security in their profile, but they're not your buyer. So you've got to be smart around like not only who you're searching, but like you want to nail a certain vertical and a micro vertical to know you've tackled that. Okay. And you'll want to sync with your team, you know, if you have territories and who's reached out to who and what's in your CRM. But like, for example, if you wanted to start out with cloud security directors in the 1 to 10 employee space, which is probably not many of those around, let's just say 200 to 500. Mm-hmm. So you want to go do that search and then prospect those people, exhaust that, and then move on to 1,000 to 5,000 so that you're, you know, not leaving any stones unturned. So the point here is that you want to make sure you're methodical about what you're searching, mm-hmm. and you're keeping track of that. Now, some things you can do that are fancy are Booleans. And so, for example, if you're cutting yourself short if you just do like, if you literally type in like cloud security in the search box, mm-hmm. what about like cloud data integrity, right? Like what if people have different titles and, you know, you don't want to have to do a new search every time. So Booleans can help you do that. So I can share an example here of that in action with Sales Navigator.
As you're pulling that up, what is a Boolean search?
So Boolean search is essentially you're giving an advanced query to the search box that's grabbing multiple pieces of data at once. So for example, if we do an advanced search on LinkedIn Sales Navigator, I could do title, cloud security or cloud integrity. So I'm going to get search results back for both of these terms now. Right. And I think Sales Navigator even makes it easier. So you could just type in like cloud, you know, and then I could type in like, you know, architect. So, you know, you can, it actually makes it easier. You just hit enter and you can get multiple. But where this Boolean could come in handy is you could do things like let's say you don't want people from IBM, you could do not IBM, right? So I'm going to not get the IBM employees now that have to do that, right? Because otherwise tons of IBM folks might show up. Mm-hmm. So the
basic Booleans are basically it's and, or, and not.
Right. So and means they have to match both terms at once in order to show up in your search. Or means it could be either or. You're going to get both. Not means exclude it. Mm-hmm. And then if there's multiple words like cloud security, you want to make sure it's wrapped in quotes.
Gotcha. And that's especially relevant when you're doing keywords because as you mentioned, the titles, it seems to be auto-completing there.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be in keywords, very important. Or if you're using the free or premium version of LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Then you're probably going to need to use Booleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So Sales Navigator, it's an upsell thing. So, Yeah. Now, some other things with search, especially in Sales Navigator, that are really interesting are posted content keywords. So one thing that's nice here is, like, let's say you want to target people who are literally posting about this subject matter, mm-hmm. right? So if somebody is talking about cloud security and is posted about it, I want them to show up. So now I can add that. It looks like zero people are talking about that. I guess it's a pretty boring subject.
We might also have, like, do we have a Boolean in the keywords in the title there? Do you have a not in there that might be excluding?
No, I just typed in security and I got 1,000 people.
Okay.
I mean, by doing that, like, look what happened, right? Like, if I take security out, I get 1,000,000 people, right? That's cumbersome. That's not ideal. But if I type in security and add that as a posted content keyword, I've got 1,000 people. So now I've got something that's a little more workable. Because another little nugget to leave you with, you actually, if there were 1,000,000 results, you actually only can see 1,000 in Sales Navigator or any version of LinkedIn. So if I were to page through all the results, it's only going to show me the first 1,000 people. Hmm. So one thing to do is actually artificially take this down to when it's 1,000 and then go get those people and then segment that out and then, you know, change it to something else and then get the next 1,000.
So when you're saying if you got 1,000,000 in there, finding ways of saying, okay, let's just go after the people that are at a company that of this size, or maybe split it by geography or seniority level or years of experience, years in position. You pick one, you say, okay, just going after people in this range until you've got it down to below 1,000 results so that you can access the whole piece. And then you're methodically going through and changing them. So, you know, you've started with 10,000 headcount. Great. Now we're at 553. The next search I'm going to do is 20,000, then 30,000, then 40,000. So we segment them into small search results of under 1,000 so that we can access everybody.
Exactly. Yep. I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly. So you can swap these out. Company headcount's great to swap it with. You could do years at company, maybe start with the more experienced people if that's helpful. So it's up to you, but yeah, 1,000 is that magic number that you're going to be limited to viewing no matter what.
Cool.
This is.
Yeah. Yeah. I may or may not have been banned from LinkedIn a few times. The third time they ban you, have you ever had to send a letter in?
No.
Oh yeah. If you screw up big enough, they make you like send a physical paper letter in. You have to mail them a letter apologizing for them to unlock your account. Or at least that's what they used to make you do.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're in grade school again, I guess, with LinkedIn. Thanks for that. Thanks for the etiquette lessons, LinkedIn.
Yeah. I think they thought I was a robot because I had sent, I was in, like, I'm a hotkey nut. And so I went through and must have sent 500 this is back in the day, like 7 or 8 years ago, must have sent 500 or 600 connection requests with custom text in them, which is obviously a bad idea, but I was just trying to go through it. And so off of that one push, I basically got banned right away. And then I went through the automated process of getting unbanned, but all of the messages hadn't been read yet. And so as it went through over the next couple of days, I got banned and unbanned, rebanned like 3 times. And finally LinkedIn said, okay, enough of this. But it was like, I'd stopped the behavior. So I had to first it was automated. Then the next couple were, you had to write in, and then the next one you had to call in. And then the final couple, or maybe a couple call in. And then the last one, I had to write a letter, say, I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore.
Well, next they're going to make you write, I will not do this again 1,000 times on a chalkboard somewhere. So you better watch out.
Exactly. Yeah. Bart Simpson style. So we've got some results here in front of us. Pulling up 553 results 10 at a time is a pain in my ass. So I imagine you've got a hack for me here.
Yeah. So the bad news with Sales Navigator is, yes, you've got all these beautiful results here, 500 people that are in your target market potentially. But when you get to number 25, you got to go click number 2 here. So, and the other unfortunate thing is, you know, in order to get in touch with these people, you have to send them a message on LinkedIn one by one. So there are some great tools out there, like LeadIQ, which you guys use and obviously I used to work for, so, you know, no plug intended, but it's definitely helpful for tools like this. And they basically are a side, kind of a sidecar little window Chrome extension that extrapolates based on name and company here. So it's not really scraping. It's kind of just extrapolating based on these two items. Mm-hmm. Long story short, gives you their email, their phone number, parses all the info. You can shoot it into Salesforce, Outreach, SalesLoft. Makes your life easier.
And they're one of the only LinkedIn tools that hasn't been banned or isn't going to get banned just because of the way that they did it. So if you're looking, if you've had some frustration with the tools that you've been using to pull off of LinkedIn getting shut down, I think, you know, I can't make any promises, but these guys, yeah, just the way they've built it are more in compliance with what LinkedIn wants you to be, what LinkedIn deems to be acceptable.
Yep. So that's just leadiq.com. So check them out. It's a free trial. All right. Well, we don't want to make that plug last forever. So moving on, one thing that's nice, I mean, you can also like use very basic tools to copy or, you know, extract mm-hmm. name and company, and you can run it through API tools. So one thing that's nice for LeadIQ or these API tools is the search hack, where you can display more results per page. So like I said, there's only 25 results per page. If we wanted 100 people to show up per page or even 500 all on a single scroll, what you want to do is go up here to the URL. You want to go find where it says count equals 25. So this is just the URL saying, hey, LinkedIn, give me 25 people per page. Now you can tell it, give me more, right? So I'm just going to change this count to, you know, I'm not going to go too high because I don't want to take forever to load. I'll just do 100. Hit enter. And now it's going to go ahead and load up 100 of these 500 people. Yeah, you can see it's taking a little bit. It's loading all that stuff, a lot of data. Hopefully it doesn't crash my browser. But yeah, you can see the little scroll thing here. It's going real slow now when I scroll. So there's a lot of stuff. So this can help you if you're trying to either extract this information or you're using a tool like LeadIQ. There's many out there. LeadIQ just happens to be one, and it's good and it's safer. The other thing you want to keep in mind on this is once you do the first 100, you're going to the page number is broken now. You've artificially changed it. So you need to manually page. But to do that, you need to change the start. So after the first 100, if you do 100, you just need to add 100 to this number. So we'll do start equals 101 or 100, I guess. And now it's going to start on the 100th person and then give you another 100 people. So you just need to do that every time you do the page extract. And pretty soon you'll be through this much faster.
Very cool. So is there a maximum? Like, could I put in 1 million or 1,000? Because that seems to be the...
Yeah, you'd be able to do probably up to 1,000. Again, I'd caution against it just because the memory involved in your browser and your computer, it's probably going to slow it down or crash it. Mm-hmm. You're much better off just doing like maybe 100, 200 at a time and then just going to the next 200 rather than waiting for it to load.
Yeah, I found my sweet spot was right around 200 when I was doing this. Otherwise, your computer's just going to crawl to a halt, and then you're sitting there waiting for it. You're not really saving yourself much time.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing I want to show you guys about search, you can do this for accounts as well. So if you're trying to do a territory planning or account-based selling, if you do advanced account search, these account filters are amazing, right? You can do by technologies used, you could do department headcount size, company growth, you know. So if I just do, I'm just going to do technology, I'm just going to do very rudimentary search. And then we'll just do like startups that are growing really fast. So we'll just do like really high headcount growth. Should probably just use, let's do internet in San Francisco. And their company headcount size is 1 to 10. Let's do 11 to 50, 51 to 200. Okay, cool. Yep, so if we want 280 accounts to go prospect, so right now we're going to have to page through page by page by page. If we want all 280 of those and we want to build a nice quick list to go after, do the same thing, go up here, go to account equals, well, let's see if we can have our cake and eat it too. Let's just put in 280.
Cool. Aggressive. I like it.
Account equals 280. And let's see if all these bad boys load up. And I'm going to show you one other special surprise that happens when you do this.
Chrome breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, not. Yeah. So it looks like based on the scrolly thing going real slow, we've got about 200, 280. Let's see what the page looks like. Yeah. This looks pretty good. Pro tip, by the way, if you hit command down, it'll scroll you to the top of the, or the bottom of the page.
Nice.
Now here's what's cool when you break it. You can view all the employees. I can hit select all, view current employees at all these companies. And what's cool is if I go and view all these employees, I can then filter by the type of employee now, right? So I can suddenly get all of the CTOs at all my target companies. So not only have I built my account list, I can build all the employees that fit my criteria for those accounts. See, it loaded all those companies for me.
Yeah.
And there we go. And I run the same search. So, there's a lot of people here, but you can dumb that down. So I could do like Second Connections, San Francisco, and then use Lead IQ or an extract tool. And like, literally like within 2 minutes, I've got like an email list. I've got my account list. I've got everything I need to go, blast my target market.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's fantastic. And now you can, and like you were saying, you can apply those job title filters to this list that's already huge. So you've got 28,000, which, as you mentioned, we're not going to get to, but you could filter it down and say just the salespeople, just the...
Yeah, like give me VP people. Of sales, like give me all the VP of sales at the hot growing tech startups in San Francisco that use Salesforce, right? Like I can do that and get their email, their direct dial, everything with a combo of Sales Navigator and a tool like Lead IQ.
What's been your experience with technology filters in Sales Navigator?
I haven't used them too much. I'm not sure where they get their data, so I can't really speak to their accuracy. So I'd say use at your own risk.
Yeah,
I actually don't really use technology filters. I've just never needed to use them. I mean, I think it depends on who you're selling to and what you do. This is taking forever. Yeah. A lot of data, but
churn through, yeah.
Yeah. But, basically like, I think if you're selling something where it matters, then go for it, like try it. But if you know your target market enough, then you might not need it. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned something about deep searches. Is this what we're talking about now? Or is there another layer here?
Deep searches. Yeah, I think we've covered it with Boolean and, being able to show more results per page.
Yeah. Oh, and people posting about the certain topics. That's what we were talking about.
Posting about topics. I mean, you can do what's called an X-ray search on Google. I would just look online for X-ray search and figure it out. I've never done it, but a lot of recruiters use it to just Google for people and they find some interesting stuff. So check that out. That might be something to explore.
Cool. So that's if you don't have Sales Nav, you can do the Google X-ray.
Yeah, that's one thing you could do. Yep.
Cool. So if I'm an account exec and I'm sitting here going, well, my team won't pony up for Sales Nav, how do I still get value out of what you're talking about here? What else can I do?
Yeah. So one thing you can do on the free version of LinkedIn is you can still view people's connections. And one dirty trick of mine that I've had a lot of success with is I will figure out my competitors' customers. So yeah, think about that for a second. Competitors' customers, how the heck does it get that, right?
Please.
So whether it's SalesNav or the free version of LinkedIn, I notice you're on the premium, but premium and free are pretty much the same for viewing connections. So if you know your competitors and your competitors have salespeople, those salespeople are likely connecting with their prospects and customers. And what's nice is if you're connected with people, you can see those connections. So for example, so I'm on Colin's LinkedIn account right now. So if obviously you're connected with me. So if I go and view, let's just say I'm the target salesperson that works at a competitor of yours, you could go and view my connections. And actually the best way to do this is by we do a search for people. And then let's see, connections of, let's see here. Yeah, connections of Cole Fox. And then we could search for like, you know, VP of sales, right? Like you're going after VPs of sales, Colin, for your clients.
Yep.
So then you could just search that. And now here's Cole's connections that are VPs of sales. And so, you know, if I competed with you, you could extrapolate potentially that, you know, these people might be in the market for what you offer.
Let's assume I was selling a LinkedIn extraction tool and you're looking at these results. How accurate would that be? Just how up here? Are we talking like just the people that are on this list? Are we 50% there?
Let's see here. As far as actual prospects, clients, 30%.
Still, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I don't mind going quite a bit wider if I can narrow down the people that are most likely to be prospects and customers. That's a great little trick.
Yeah. Yeah. So this can be helpful, for the free version of LinkedIn.
Very cool.
So in Sales Nav.
Yeah. So now we've built this list and we've got our amazingly complicated way of building up the markets and like all the filters and the Booleans and that's great. But it's sort of missing something unless we're actually doing something about it. And I know, you know, sending in mails are, I think LinkedIn charges like $900 per in mail now. Mm-hmm. So what do you send them on emails or, you know, once you've got this list of people or you extracted their emails, what do you do next?
Well, there's a few things. So I think there's the persona based emailing. I mean, what the overall strategy is like a diversification of touch points. So a call, an email, an in-mail, and maybe like some social aspects of like connecting with them on LinkedIn with a personalized connection note, liking their stuff, commenting on what they share, you know, even just viewing somebody's profile. I've had SDRs literally get a demo from viewing somebody else's profile. There's a setting on LinkedIn. I hope you don't mind me going to your settings.
Help yourself, man.
Where you can show, you can decide if you show up when you view somebody's profile. So I think that's, profile viewing options under privacy.
Yeah.
So one thing that's pretty powerful is you can decide to show up when you view somebody's profile. So if you go and view your target market's profiles all day, you know, you're going to show up on who's viewed you. And we all check, let's be real. We all check, to see who's viewed us. So that's something that can be helpful as literally just a touch point.
Yeah.
On just viewing somebody's profile. So, those are kind of the sequence. I mean, to get into specifics on like what happens on a cold call or like what happens on an email, a cold call, the best practice for cold calls, that is kind of the going thing. Chris Beal, Connect and Sell, like he talks about it a lot. He's like, hey, I realize I'm an interruption. Can I have 20 seconds of your time to explain why I'm calling? Right? Like that does so much at once and disarms the prospect like 80% of the time that you can usually at least express what you're talking about. So that's a great, and I wrote a blog post about that. If you want to go to my profile, you can see that whole blog in detail. When it comes to emails, like you guys are the kings of cold emails. I mean, no HTML, like text, plain text based, short, sweet, start with a good opener that's somewhat personalized, give the benefit statement, give the call to action, right? Like a three-part wabam on cold emails tends to be kind of the overarching best practice, very generally speaking. And then, you know, in mails, I don't know, like keep it simple as well. Yeah. I see in mail as just another touch point. They're probably not going to respond to me. It's just sort of like, hey, I'm on LinkedIn. Like, I feel like nobody responds to in mails.
So. Yeah. I can't think of one that I've responded to, but we'll like, I'll have people connect with me first without sending, you know, without any adding any context into the ad. And it sort of just goes, you know, I'm in the mindless automation zone of like, okay, 20 people added me, let's go and accept them all. And, you know, and sometimes a little message will pop up and say, hey, you know, you got this like custom message request or custom sort of addition when they added you. So will you add it in there or will you wait until they accept the connection request and then send them the message?
I think it's good to do a combo of both. I think, you know, don't, you know, show up and throw up in your connection message, right? Just say, hey, you seem like a thought leader, for example. Just like suggest something that shows a little personalization, but don't pitch. Definitely don't pitch. Like compliment them, you know, say maybe a little bit of why, just hint at why you're connecting with them, but don't like hint at like, hey, I'm trying to sell you something. Don't be obvious, right? Just try and build a relationship. Come at it from an angle of that. Make them like think backwards of like why you would suggest or you would accept somebody's connection request. And then maybe a day or two later, when you've called or emailed or both, then maybe follow up with a message saying why you're reaching out.
Gotcha. And you mentioned something interesting about the email that you're personalizing that first sort of intro line. Is that based off of what are you going back to their LinkedIn profile to do that?
It depends. So in the sequence of prospecting we're talking about, that may be the case. So there's tools like SalesLoft, Outreach, Nova, that will allow you to initiate a sequence, and kind of like throw in your daily task of like, here's email one. Do you want to add anything before we shoot it off? Okay. Boom. Add it in. Next email, next prospect. So they can make it really efficient for you to just paste in some stuff that like kind of hooks them. You could also do some personalization at scale. Like for example, if you kind of encapsulate enough about like who they are as a persona, like VPs of sales, like what they care about, you do some title targeting. Not going to be as effective. Obviously, the more weight and time you put in, you know, the more reciprocity that person's going to feel and be compelled to respond to you. So the more you can act like that and the more you can do that at scale, the more you can win.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess what you're saying is it's a bit of a balance of, you know, depending on if you want to make that investment of time, if these deals are sort of worth it, or do you need to take the volume approach?
Exactly.
So we've talked about, you know, making sure that your landing page is looking great. You're searching for the right people. You're getting found. You've shared a dirty little hack to find your competitors, customers, and prospects. You mentioned you've got one thing that you haven't really shared before, because you do a ton of writing, especially on prospecting on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Do you want to help me out here? Where, I know this is a piece that has had a big impact on yourself, and especially when you're prospecting at LeadIQ. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what this secret little trick is that you haven't shared.
Well, around content generation, I've written about 30 or 40 articles, mostly around sales. So this is just part of it. So I also belong to a lot of sales Slack channels and communities. There's a couple Slack channels and you can find those pretty easily. You know, you can reach out to me or call in and we can tell you about them, like the Sales Stack channel. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a, for sales managers out there, there's Modern Sales Pros, Google group. So you can just get a feed of emails and reply right back to them. It goes to the whole group. And there's also an AE one as well for individual contributors. So things like that, especially if you're selling into the sales space, can be helpful. If you're selling into other spaces like cloud security, there's groups out there as well. So I think community is the big takeaway here. And what I'm really doing when I write these articles is I'm contributing to that community. Now, if you're, you know, a salesperson, if you're an SDR fresh out of college, you can't really write a white paper on cloud security. So I get you there. But what you can do is you can borrow info and disseminate it, right? You can write an article from your LinkedIn. It's very easy. You just literally write a post, you know, so if I'm on Colin's profile right now, but if I click like write an article, you know, it's going to just take me there. So this is like the blog platform, and you could paste in stuff. You could paste in trends about cloud security. You could take like some of your prospects' quotes or things they've posted about and write about it. Like, how awesome is that? Right. And then their friends see that. And then they're like, oh, who's the salesperson that like actually cares about us? Right. It goes a long way. So you don't have to be, you know, Mr. Edgar Allan Poe poet, and write perfect prose. But you know, for me, I've been in sales for about 8 years now. And so I know a couple things about sales, and I'm a sponge. Like, I love reading and reading a lot of books on it. So I've written a fair amount, and these articles, are pretty helpful. Another cool thing, if you don't know what to write about, is you can just interview people, right? So just like Colin's doing, right? You know, I think, was it this one? Yeah, so there were, like, I interviewed like the BDR manager at SalesLoft. I interviewed some other folks, like some SDRs at Outreach.io. You know, and I got their email templates. So it's pretty easy for you to generate content, even if you aren't like a thought leader and can, you know, kind of come up with it yourself. And so by posting this, people are going to see you, you know, you're connecting with your prospects. They're going to see your stuff showing up in their newsfeed. If you go and like their stuff, then they're, you know, everybody sees that you like something. So I think you've just got to get this web of like community going on, from posting content, liking things, you know, and be methodical about it. Don't get lost on the newsfeed and, you know, distracted, right? Like, then you're not going to get any work done. So take, you know, set a 20-minute window in the morning, do this stuff, make it a method. And, you know, I think this can definitely come back to create your own like mini inbound lead flow process.
Which is something that you'll always have in control as an SDR, right? You don't have to, you know, sit there and wait for the leads to inbound to you. This is something that you can always be working on, always developing, you know, whether you're going to stay at the company that you're at forever, or you're going to make a change or a shift, you know, coming up. This is your LinkedIn profile is something, and your personal brand is something that you'll always be able to take with you.
Yeah, exactly. So share articles. It's not hard for your industry. Build out your LinkedIn profile, connect with your prospects. Even if you haven't sold them anything, engage with their profiles and their shares, interview one of them. It doesn't have to be the most perfect, interview, and just start generating some content, make some noise.
I love it. Cole, thanks for coming on today and sharing with us how you make noise on LinkedIn. Really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, my pleasure.
Cool. And, one last thing, if you are still listening and, you would like to hear me sing, which I assure you is going to be a bad thing. Drop me an email, find my email somewhere, shoot me one of your email templates, one of your favorite email templates. And if you do, I'll grab my guitar and write you a crappy little song and sing with my terrible voice about your prospecting email.
I love it.
Thanks for coming on the show today, Cole. Everybody, thanks for listening. See you next week.